I don't know if you guys saw, if you guys listened to the initial video. It's about planning. So our topic this morning is about planning. It's I think it's just right for this last service of 2024 to talk about this. Who here plans their whole year out at the beginning of the year? I know some people do. You all got planners. You got your little whiteboard at home. You write everything down. Some of you guys do it by hour. some crazy people do it by hour. But that's we do that, right? That's what we do. Like I don't know anybody who doesn't plan, but there are people who don't. You know what I'm saying? They want to live life on the edge. They want to be, you know, they just want to be spontaneous. They just want to, you know, feel that sense of adrenaline. They got adventure and things don't go right. Well, maybe, you know, you ever thought about that? If that's you, you ever thought about why things don't go right? It's because you didn't plan. so there is this spectrum, I think, when it comes to this topic of planning. And I think as we start the new year, we should first of all figure out where on the spectrum we're at the top when it comes to planning. Are you more of a planner, or are you more this, you know, go with the flow, que sera, sera, whatever will be kind of person? As the new year comes, this is what I want to talk about. And I want to talk about the two people that were mentioned or shown in the video, the planner and the non-planner, or the more spontaneous people. And I would like to add those who, you know, are in the middle as well, okay? So again, I view these two approaches to life as existing on a spectrum. You know what a spectrum is, right? Two polar extremes, ends, and then there's that middle where you can kind of gauge and place yourself when it comes to the spectrum. So on the one end of this spectrum are the ultra planners, the rigid people. They all that's important to them is the plan. You gotta get the plan. If it's on the plan, no, we can't do that. When we go to McDonald's, we're only gonna get two meals. McNuggets, just one sweet and sour sauce. You can't get any extra. And they stick to that, right? No matter what. You can usually tell these people by the way they look. They always look miserable. Right? Because there's no room for fun in their life. It's just plan. And then there are those people who have no plans in life. They just want to do everything. Whatever. I don't care. I don't care about school. I don't care about this. I don't care about that. There's those people as well. Those are the two extreme ends of this spectrum. But who exactly are these people? Who exactly are the planners, and who exactly are these spontaneous people? Let me start by defining these two ends. So if you think this is you, stand up, okay? No, I'm just kidding. I embarrass you like that. Okay, so let's start with planners. Planners are those who are more disciplined. More future-oriented when it comes to their thinking. Always thinking about the next thing. Right, I got to start preparing for the... No, you're not, bro. This guy stood up. but these are the people. These are the planners. Okay, disciplined, future-oriented mindset. They're often more efficient with their time and resources. They don't waste anything, because everything's already planned for its use, right? Right. $2 for gas only. I'm only going so far. That's it. I'm not going to spend any more money on this. They're more efficient with their time and resources. They like schedules. Okay. Who are those? Who likes to schedule their vacations? Some people do. Yeah. By 9 o'clock, we got to have breakfast. By 10, we got to be out there on the beach. Only 1 hour, because we don't want to burn. And then you go back. You know what I'm saying? People schedule that. Planners like schedules. They like deadlines. I see a lot of planners here. Yeah. Or in other words, they like structure. They want to have some kind of structure. Okay. Raise your hands. Who's like that? People with structure? Yes, I can see. Not OCD structure, just structure. Okay. OCD is, I know somebody here who's OCD. So they like structure. However, some planners tend to overdo it. Right? Again, to the point that they worry too much about sticking to the plan. They forget to enjoy the activity. There's no room for error for these people. Okay? They forget to enjoy the activity. I just want to plan. Okay. Now, on the other end of the spectrum are the spontaneous people. Okay, I'm going to look at people's faces to see who these people are. These are the risk takers. Nobody. I know one person here is a risk taker. These are the risk takers. These people prefer flexibility. Like, it doesn't have to be done that way. You can do something else. And they are open or more open to change and options. Yes. Good. So look at these people. They look happy. Look. Because they're not stuck in their little jail that they call their plan. Nobody's supposed to mess with that. So these people experience life at a different level. Like, planners won't get the way these people view life. Because they'll be like, no, that's chaos. But these people are like, no, it's not. This is how you really live. You know what I'm saying? But again, there's a negative to this, right? Or before I get to the negative, these people are more adventurous and they find joy in the unexpected. And they like to get lost. You know what I'm saying? Canceled flight? No problem. However, I'm one of those, by the way. I like it when I have to stay at the airport. A canceled flight? You go around. You go eat the food. But anyway, that's me. However, spontaneous people, or more spontaneous people, are also prone to mistakes. They always screw up. And it always costs them. Right? People who don't plan are prone to costly mistakes. Now, those are the end of the spectrums. Most of us would fall somewhere in the middle. I don't think anybody here has no plans, and I don't think anybody here is that extreme. My dad's not here. He's one of those. My dad is known for his plan has to be. If it's not in the plan, we're not doing it. That's my dad. But I myself, right? Oh, wala sa plano yan. No. right? So myself, I consider myself in between these two extremes. But I lean more towards spontaneous. Amen? Yes, okay, good. Everybody's on my side. What I mean by that is that I'll plan for things. Don't get me wrong. I'll plan, but I'm not going to plan details. Okay? I'll plan, but I won't plan the details. Now, my wife, on the other hand, is also an in-between person, but she leans towards planning, being more of a planner. She even has spreadsheets to outline everything. This is what we're going to do, how much we're going to spend. Not like she follows it, but, you know, especially the budget. But but she's like that. So, for example, when we go on trips, I'll plan to go on the trip. You know, by plan, I mean I'll be ready when we have to leave. I'll fix my stuff. I'll, you know, talk to whoever I need to talk to get everything all settled. And that's it. I'll be at the airport. Right? When we got married, that's what I did. Right? When are we getting married? August 7th? I'll be there. I don't care about flowers. I don't care about all this other stuff. You do that. You're the planner. Me, I'll just show up. I'll plan to be there. Okay? But when it comes to where we're going, when it comes to these trips, what we're going to do, where we're going to eat, all these things, I'm more likely to just look and see. When we get there, we'll decide. You know, Google reviews. Okay, this looks good. Close enough. We can walk it. Let's go. Try it out. My wife, on the other hand, likes to plan each and every aspect of the trip, from the flights to the hotels, car rentals, restaurants, places to go, people to see. She does that. And I'm grateful for that. Don't get me wrong, because if I just did it myself, we wouldn't get anywhere. Like, we would, there would always be some kind of issues because I wouldn't have planned for anything like that. So in a sense, we kind of balance each other out. Okay, so in a marriage, usually that's it. I don't know if there's any marriages here, people married, that you're both like planners or you're both spontaneous. No, I don't think so. So we kind of balance each other out. So, but me as an individual, I lean towards being more spontaneous. So this year, I'm planning to be more balanced. I need to plan my life better. Right? I'm almost 50. I got like, what, 10 more years to go before. Nowadays, yeah, you don't know. You never know. The next COVID might come, get all of us. Who knows? But I'm planning to be more better at planning. So the goal for this message, this last message of the year, is to help us to find that balance when it comes to making plans and decisions in this coming year and even beyond. And hopefully, this will help us become better, more efficient stewards of our God-given time and resources, and be able to accomplish more for the glory of God in 2025. Is that cool? Yeah, everybody wants to do that? Okay, we need to be better planners. Okay? So, the way we're going to do this, we're going to look at some select passages from Scripture. I'm not just going to give you what I think. We're going to use the Bible to give us wisdom when it comes to finding that balance within the planning spectrum as individuals. So, let's start. Book of Proverbs. Wisdom literature, right? Book of Proverbs, chapter 6, verses 6 and 7. You guys read. Proverbs 6, 6 and 7. So, in order for us to be better stewards of God's provisions and to be more balanced when it comes to our planning and organizing our lives, the teacher here in Proverbs gives us some wisdom. Coming from one of the smallest creatures on the planet. You know, sometimes, you know, you just look at the ants and you just think, ah, whatever. They're one of the most organized species on the planet. You ever see them? Right? There was a TikTok video I saw. Some guy put like an ice cream cup or whatever, like a cup, and then he put like two pieces of meat in there. Then one ant came. Then he went back and he called a bunch of other ants to come. And then they all helped out and lifted this thing up off the cup and brought it to wherever they live. It's like, what? People won't do that. That one guy would never come back. If you found a treasure. Some people divorce their wives after winning the lotto. See you later. But ants, no, man. They work together. They are organized. So the teacher in Proverbs tells us, learn from the ant. What can we learn from the ant? Can you flash that again? I want you guys to see this. Go to the ant, O sluggard. Consider her ways. Why her? Consider her ways. Why her? Why is wisdom in the Proverbs always a she? Guys, what do you think? Because we're not that organized. We're not that organized. We're not that wise. They're smarter than us. It's true. I rely on my wife for a lot of things because I know she could do it. Me, on the other hand, I'm just all over the place. That's why it's her. That's the first thing I want you to notice. So, guys, listen to your wife or, you know, listen to your female friends. because they know what they're doing when it comes to this. Second thing that we can learn from this is the ants plan ahead, right? They plan ahead. The ant thinks about her needs for the winter during the summer. Now, if you put that into months, this means that in Ontario, for example, summer begins at the end of May, mid-June. Winter begins at the end of November, mid-December. So that means the ant is planning ahead for winter. How many months ahead? 6 to 7 months ahead. Who does that? 6 to 7 months ahead? I know one person who does. People do that, right? 6 to 7 months ahead. Now, those of us who are leaning towards the spontaneous side of the spectrum, are probably thinking that's too early. Month will do. Meanwhile, the planners are probably thinking that's too late. We should start planning for winter 2025 when winter 2024 hit. Should be a year of planning. Now, I realize that both of those thoughts are coming from an extreme perspective or from an extreme position on the planning spectrum. But the main point is that the passage is teaching us we should learn to plan ahead. Why? Look at this next Proverbs. It gives us a warning. Check it out. You guys read. The simple... or the fool believes in everything. They believe everything. They believe everything will just work out miraculously. But the prudent gives thought to his steps. My Lolo Piper wrote this about that verse. And I quote, "The difference between planning and not planning is whether you look where you're going in the future or whether you focus all your attention on the immediate right in front of you." What does he mean by that? I started riding motorcycles last summer. Some of you don't like it. Too risky. But remember, I'm on the spontaneous side. I don't calculate too much. I just go with the flow, okay? I started riding motorcycles. Now, again, I'm saying this not to encourage anyone to ride, okay? First of all, wives are already mad at me. I'm not trying to encourage anybody to ride. I'm just going to use this as an illustration. The first thing they teach you in riding school when you ride motorcycles is this. Look where you want to go. Look where you want to go. If you've ridden a motorcycle, you know it's heavy, it's powerful, but you control it. So, if you're riding a motorcycle and you're just looking right in front of you, first of all, that's dangerous. If something comes up and you're going at speed, you won't be able to avoid it. Or if you're riding a motorcycle and you're focusing on the line on the shoulder of the road, that's where the motorcycle will go, wherever you look. So the first thing they teach you is look where you want to go. So that means look far ahead. As far as possible, where you want to go, in order to give yourself time to be prepared for what is coming your way. So the further you can look out, the safer your ride will be. Now, if you're, again, closer to the spontaneous end of the spectrum, you're the ones who should be listening to this, okay? Look far ahead and start planning. Those of you who have kids, if you're just looking at your kids right now, oh, they're only 10. So I'm only going to treat them this way. I'm only going to teach them this. I'm not going to teach them about the adult stuff when it comes to discipline. And no, look further than that. Because when they get to 18, it's too late. It's like a car crash. By that time, you're just going to be like, oh, what happened? So look far. So this is not just about planning. This you can apply this kind of mentality to everything in your life. So if you're in the spontaneous end of the spectrum and you tend to kind of just take things as they come, listen to this warning. It is foolish to believe that everything will just work out without doing your due diligence in planning. You have to plan. Second, it is also foolish to do last-minute planning. So the ant is pretty much right on the dot, half a year, right? Start planning half a year. Do that with your vacations, with your whatever, with school, if you guys are in school, with your work, everything like that. At least half a year, right? So these two passages that we read tells us to look forward as far as you can possibly see, to look to where you want to go in order to give yourself time to prepare, time to react when something unexpected happens so that you can reach your destination. Now, does it have to be 6 or 7 months? Depends. Depends on what your goals are. Third thing I wanted to kind of add on to this, and this is not from the passage we just read. Again, I just wanted to add this thing for you guys to think about. If, for example, you plan to finish your mortgage as soon as possible, then do it. That's good. Who has mortgages here? A lot of us do. Plan for it, but don't forget, don't be so rigid in your planning. You forget to live your life. No, seriously. A lot of people, mortgage. They spend time with their kids. Next thing you know, kids are all grown up. They don't want to go with them on vacation anymore. Then what? You just did all that for what? Live a balanced life. Plan, but don't forget to live your life. It's good and wise to plan ahead and work hard, but remember to take a minute to savor the fruits of your labor, enjoy the fruits of your labor. Don't be so tight when it comes to your budget. That's a plan, right? The budget. I'm not saying to be like this, but don't be so tight when it comes to your budget. Or if I go back to my motorcycle illustration, look far ahead as far as you can go, but also take the time to enjoy the beauty around you. That's why I ride motorcycles. Especially in the fall when you see all the trees changing, you're on this winding road and the wind is blowing. That's why we ride. Don't forget to enjoy that. Don't be like, oh, focused on the road. Oh, no, I'm going to die if I don't. Then don't ride. Get a car. but don't forget that. And don't forget to thank God for the privilege of being able to do what you're doing. Not everyone can do what you're doing. So don't forget to thank God for the privilege of that. Next, Proverbs 15:22. Okay, self-explanatory, but let me read to you what my Lolo Piper wrote. He said, don't be so independent that you think yourself above counsel. Read the wisdom of others who have gone before you. Talk to experienced people and wise people. Watch the way they do things and learn from their mistakes and successes. So, for example, me and my wife, we like to go on dates. Unplanned. We don't schedule our dates. Okay, anybody here? Couples, you schedule your dates? Like, okay, on this day we're going to go out. You guys do that? That's sad. That is. I don't get that. Your date is supposed to be like this thing that you just, oh, yo, let's go. Let's go. Let's go out. So we always do that. But before heading to the restaurant, it's usually a restaurant that we go to, what do you do first? You read reviews, right? There's nothing wrong with that. Some people are just like, no, I don't want to read reviews. I don't want to be influenced by other people. It's not that. You can still decide where to go, but you do your due diligence. Otherwise, you'll go to a place where you can't eat anything and you're just wasting money. But go on unexpected dates. Don't just plan everything. Now, when you read reviews, does it mean that the restaurant is guaranteed to satisfy your cravings? No. We all have different palates. We all have different tastes. But at the very least, we have given ourselves some kind of assurance that we won't just be throwing our money down the toilet. Right? In the same process when we go on trips, and I get it, sometimes it's more exciting to do things on the fly or to wing it. But it doesn't hurt to have help and guidance along the way. That's why you watch these YouTubers are so popular, are those who go on trips and tell people, oh, this is what you do, this is what you do. We went to the Philippines. I watched a lot of videos. You inform yourself so that you can plan. Oh, I want to go there. I want to go there. Now, did it live up to expectations? No, it didn't. But still, you had some kind of organized, structured vacation. Not too structured, but right in the middle. You know what I'm saying? You're still open to options, but you have some kind of organization as well. Now, when the Bible says that, go get counsel. I say the same to my two boys when it comes to life in general. We have years of experience. I always tell them, use our years of experience as a cheat sheet to your life. Because you're gonna go through some of the stuff that we went through. So this is how we dealt with it. Right? It's a cheat sheet. Like, don't go this way because there's a trap there. Go this way because this way is good. Listen to that. Right? There's this saying in Tagalog, right? Kind of sounds the same, but I don't agree with it. You know that saying that I'm talking about? Papunta ka pa lang, pabalik na ako. For those of you who don't understand Tagalog, let me do a rough translation for you. You're just at the start of your journey, but I am on my way back. It doesn't sound right. If that was somebody who was telling me that and somebody was giving me advice who's on the way back where I'm going, I wouldn't listen to that person. That person is like growing up in reverse. What are you, like, what? Why do you want to go back? You know what I'm saying? Why do you want to go back? You should keep going forward and keep telling me, no, this is what you should do, this is what you should do. But for somebody to tell me, I'm on my way back, listen to me. I don't know. I don't think I want to listen to that person, right? It should be, a better way to say that Tagalog saying would be, papunta ka pa lang, nanggaling na ako dyan. That should be a better way, right? Right? You're on your way, but I've been there, so listen to me. Don't say, I'm on my way back. You're going to matanda ng paorong. Baliktad. The Koreans have that saying as well. Okay, Koreans. My wife just heard this from a K-drama, so I don't know if it's true or not. They have the saying, goes like this. I've been young once, but you've never been old, so listen to me. Make sense? Right? I was going to say it in Korean, but I might butcher it. So. And there's an English saying as well, right? Been there, done that. Yeah. Don't say you're going back. Been there, gonna do it again. No. it doesn't make sense. So Proverbs 15:22 tells us, don't be too proud of what you think you know or what you think you've accomplished, because you can't know everything. And not everything works the way you think it works. That's why I don't like 15-year-olds, 16-year-olds. Mm-mm. That's the age I hate the most, because they think they know everything. I was like that when I was 15, 16. I think I know everything. No, we don't. The older you grow up, the older you see. No, I was stupid. I was dumb. So listen to those who have experience. Listen to those who have knowledge and wisdom that has gone ahead of you. And by the way, I'm saying this to deacons, okay? When we're trying to input on your planning, that's not us trying to take over for you. That's us trying to help you, because we've been there. I've been in this church 30 years, right? So listen to us. Oh, this is not going to work. This might not work. Do this instead. Don't take that as us encroaching on your authority. That's not it. I don't want to do your job and do mine as well, but you have to listen. That's the wise thing to do when you're planning. Keep yourself informed. One last thing. This leads me to the last passage that I want to share with you to help us find the balance of the planning spectrum. James 4, 13, 17. You guys read. Okay, so this incorporates all the passages we've read so far. Okay, and it's going to help us to, again, stay in that balance when it comes to planning. So this passage says that those of you who say, today or tomorrow, we will go into such and such a town and spend a year there and trade and make profit. What do those people sound like? Do they sound like spontaneous people? Spontaneous or planners? These guys are planners, right? They already planned that. Today, we're going to go. Tomorrow, we're going to go. Such and such means they know the town where they're going. And then they're going to spend a year there to trade and make profit. Trade what? They should have planned for that because they know they're going to try to make profit. So these guys are planners, and they didn't just plan for a few months. They planned their whole year. Is that good? We just said earlier, that was good, right? So it should still be good now, right? Yes? Now all of a sudden, no, it's not good. Because James 4 says, yeah, it's good. Plan. But don't plan like they planned. They planned arrogantly. They planned and said, we're going to do this. We're going to make profit. We're going to be a year there. We're going to do this. That's the mistake of these people that James is talking about. But they're on that extreme end of planning. On top of that, they planned it arrogantly. So this, again, is not a wise way to plan. One article from Desiring God says this. If we think we can dictate tomorrow through good planning, we may be even more foolish than those who refuse to plan. Wow. If you think you can dictate tomorrow just by your planning, you're more foolish than those who refuse to plan. No one makes plans for God, and no one knows all that He has planned. That we do not know or control what tomorrow brings, though, does not mean we should not give some serious thought about tomorrow. It means we make all our plans with open hands and heads bowed, and we pray that reality will far surpass our plans. Reality will far surpass our plans. This quote pretty much summarizes my approach in life. Some people see it as, you're easy go, what is it? Easy go lucky or whatever. I don't think so. I just trust that whatever happens, whether I planned it or not, that's God's will. I trust in that. Do you guys trust in that? It keeps you on even keel, right? When things go right, you don't get too up on yourself. Like, I'm the best. I planned all this stuff. When things go wrong, you can get too down on yourself, right? Because God is ultimately in control. That's why that quote says, make your plans with open hands and head bowed. Again, I do my best to make plans, but I'm also fully aware and I fully accept the fact that my plans can and will fail. So I submit and trust that God is at work, especially when my plans don't pan out. This gives me the courage to keep on planning and keep on attempting greater things, both in my personal life and ministry. I mean, you see it here at church. We plan. I plan. Okay, let's do this prayer meeting. Worked for a few months, and then stopped. Always like that, right? We plan for things, and it kind of happens, but it's not sustainable. So for you to be like, to keep planning, to be encouraged to plan, you have to have some kind of assurance that whatever happens in reality, doesn't matter what your plan is, whatever happens in reality, it's God's will. And God's will is always good. Do you trust that? Right? It's hard to, it's easy to say now, yeah, I trust that. But when it comes to, like, let's say somebody dies in your family, unexpected death, you lose your job, all of a sudden your house burned down. It's not part of the plan. But are we still able to say, oh, no, it's okay. Like, I'm not going to panic. Steve Curtis Chapman, you guys know Steve Curtis Chapman? I think he ran over his own child backing up the driveway. You didn't see him in the camera. I think it was him. Research it, fact check. But it was a Christian singer. He ran over his own child. Not part of the plan. How did he get over it? Same thing. He's on even keel when it comes to things happening in his life. Tim Challis, pastor here at Toronto. Same thing. He was expecting his son to come back from university. I think 2 years ago, 3 years ago, even more. Heart attack. 19-year-old, I think. 19, 20-year-old, heart attack. Boom, dead. Not part of the plan. How did he get over it? Because he has his even keel where, you know what, whatever happens, I know God is sovereign. I know God is in control. We have to be there when it comes to our, we have to be there when it comes to our planning. The kind of mindset gives us joy, even in the event our plans fall apart. Because we trust that our plans falling apart is God's will and God's way to accomplish some greater good in our lives. Do you trust that? Do you trust that God is that good? That he's not just like we took up on Christmas Eve with Cain. Oh, you brought a wrong offering? You're done. You're out. Don't come back here. Is that God? No. We saw. I don't know. Who was here on Christmas Eve? I hope you saw that. You guys saw that, right? Forget the application of the Cain and Abel story. Did you see the goodness of God in that story? I hope so. After Cain failed, God said, no, here, I'll give you the right offering. It's at your door. Just go get it. And then bring it to me. I'll accept it. That's God. He's always out for our good. And that's why James says in the passage we just read, instead of being too confident because we planned, we ought to say, if the Lord wills, we will do this or that. This means that those of us who live by faith should always surrender to God's will for our lives. And that means that in reality, if our plans succeed, then God willed for that to happen. If it failed, God willed for that to happen. Either way, we can trust that whatever happens is always for our good. Even if we end up dying, right? For I know that God is able to work all things for the good of those who love him and are called according to his purpose, including that all things includes dying. Even if we die as believers in Christ, it's still good. Even it might be better than staying in this world right now, right? And by the way, when I say that verse, it is not true for everybody. That promise is only true for those who are in Christ Jesus through faith. Amen. Now, not only does that verse in James 4 protect us from going too far on the planning end of the spectrum, it also protects us from going too far on the spontaneous end of the spectrum. What do I mean by that? Check out this quote again from an article in Desiring God. It says here, a lack of preparation is often just a subtle, more frenzied form of laziness. I was reading this, I'm like, yeah, you're right. That's why I don't plan, because I'm so lazy to plan. Some laziness lies on the couch all day, refusing to work at all. Other forms of laziness may keep busy, even frantic, but refuse to do the harder, earlier work of preparation. And the reason why they're busy and frantic is because they didn't plan. Right? Where's my guy, Brother Virgil? I hope he's listening back. You need to plan. You need to at least do some kind of plan. You can't just go in there thinking, man, no, God got me. He's got my back. He does, but in a plan. Check it out, Proverbs 6, 6 to 8. Right. So the ant planned. She wasn't lazy to plan. She planned. So what it's telling us is to avoid laziness, whether in the planning or in the execution. Some of us, we plan, but we're lazy to execute, right? New year, you know what I'm talking about? Diets, diet, exercise. I got my plan ready. This is what I'm going to do. 5 reps of this, blah, 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 blah. And then when it comes to execute, I'm lazy. Don't be lazy. Plan and then execute. Remember, planning is not a sign of lack of faith. There's some people that says this, right? Oh, when you plan for things, you lack faith. Like, I know some people who doesn't want to pray. People doesn't want to read their prayers. They don't want to plan for that. They just want to stand here and just let the Holy Spirit speak. That's why some prayers last 30 minutes, 40 minutes. They keep going on rabbit holes because there's no plan, right? There's no organization. There's no structure. I see that a lot in the Philippines. The services, they just go forever. Like, there's no plan. What's going on? Is God like that? No. He planned everything from the tiniest molecule to the biggest mountain to the universe. Everything is according to his plan. So we shouldn't be like, no, I don't need to plan. God planned. So don't tell me you don't need to plan. In that article is saying maybe because you're lazy, that's why you don't. Maybe it's that, right? Planning is not a sign of a lack of faith. On the other hand, I think failing to plan also doesn't demonstrate an abundance of faith. Just because you didn't plan doesn't mean, oh, my faith is greater than yours. No. In fact, I think when you fail to plan, what that reveals is a lack of wisdom, which ultimately shows a lack of faith. Right? If you don't know the Proverbs, wisdom, knowledge comes by faith, trust in God, fear of God. Right? So planning ahead demonstrates our trust that God will enable and help us to achieve all that we have prepared for. This belief motivates us to put in the required effort to fulfill our plans. Even when our plans fall short, God's grace and goodness remain because he can use even our failures for our own benefit. That's why when people ask me, not as your pastor, do you regret doing the things that you did before? I'm like, no. I wouldn't do it again, but I don't regret anything because it's what got me here. God used all those things. If one of those events back then, good or bad, didn't happen, I wouldn't end up here. It all happened because God planned for it to happen, to bring me where I am right now. So even when our plans fall short, God's grace and goodness remain because he can use even our failures for our benefit. Both of these perspectives require a deep faith in the sovereignty of God. Now, I hope that these passages will help you find a balance in the planning spectrum. And then once you find that balance, what do? Start planning. Right? Once you find that balance, like me, I know I'm on the spontaneous side. I'm looking at this. I'm studying this past week. I'm like, man, I need to move over a little bit, right? Or maybe a lot for some of us. But once you find that where you're supposed to be, start planning. And then, so that you can remain balanced on the planning spectrum, consider these passages to help you stay there. You guys read this. Proverbs 19:21. Proverbs 16:3. Okay? It's easy to plan. But your plans is not determined, that doesn't determine outcome. What does the Bible say? We prepare the horse for battle, but the victory belongs to the Lord. Plan your battles. Like, for me, my battle is always about prayer. It's hard for me to pray. So you plan it. You strategize. And then you execute. Don't be lazy to plan. Don't be lazy to strategize. But don't be lazy to execute. So whatever it is in your life, whatever it is that you're trying to accomplish, 2025, start planning. But make sure you commit all those plans to God. This is the solid foundation for balanced biblical planning. Trust in the sovereignty of God to accomplish all that he has purposed for your life. And I'm going to end with this quote again from Lolo Piper. I quote, commit it. Commit your plans to the Lord. That is, always seek the Lord's guidance and strength in your planning. Trust his wisdom and not your own. Then your plans will bear fruit that stays. It's not something that you do and then you stop after a few months. Amen. I hope that we all endeavor to be balanced in our planning for the year 2025 in all aspects of our lives. And in doing so, may this truth help us to become better stewards of God's provisions, better stewards of the ministries that he has called us to do this coming year, and for the glory of God alone. Amen. Let's pray.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord lift his countenance upon you
and give you peace.
And give you peace. Gracious.